Welcome to this week's edition of ASISU Speaks. This is your host, Christoph Kassoon. And in the studio today with me, I have one of the most amazing people in the world. She's been on the show already. Some of you know her, some of you don't. And if you don't know her, get to know her. Nayeli Alvarez.
Hello. Hi. I'm glad to be back.
Hi.
Oh, I'm super excited to be here again,
Chris. Me too. Oh my God. Our last show was amazing. Amazing.
Every show you have done, you've been probably the best host of ASISU Speaks in the school's history.
Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. You've also been getting a lot of great remarks from not just people within the school, but within the community.
That's right. Yeah. KPVI has recognized us. Some different community members have come up to me, just hearing my voice at different events, which I think is always so cute when they just come up and say, are you the host of ASISU Speaks? Your voice is so distinctive. And I'm like, that's me.
Yes, you've been doing a great job, Chris. And I really hope that you continue on doing stuff like this.
That's the plan.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I'm honestly just beginning my little radio career. You know, I'm going to be doing some more work with KISU FM this summer. Maybe rolling out some new shows, doing some announcements. So I'm really excited to kind of step it up.
If there's anybody on this university who should be doing this, it is you. You are in the right place.
Thank you. So, Nai, we are finished your first year in office as an ASISU senator. How are we feeling?
Right now, exhausted, but the sleeves are about to get caught up. But it has been, honestly, probably the best year I have had at ISU.
Yes.
And ASISU this year has been a roller coaster for sure, but I'm extremely proud of everything I've accomplished and everything I'm going to be doing for next year.
I know. Congratulations on winning your seat again.
Thank you. I'm super excited just to bring that experience and continue on the goals that I've wanted to continue for ASISU into the next school year.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some of those goals. So kind of what did you accomplish this year, and kind of what do you want to do next year?
So one of the main overriding goals that ASISU has had, not just for me but for the whole senators, is increasing student engagement and face time and letting students know who we are, what we're doing. So my kind of spin on that and what I've been trying to accomplish throughout the school year is increasing enrollment from high school students. That has been a really big goal. And also just increasing accountability for senators to actually get their job done and be held accountable for what they've been doing.
Right.
So I plan on continuing that on into next year. I recently just passed some bills to restructure finance committee.
Yes.
And I think that the way that we're going to be doing it now is going to be a lot more beneficial for the students. We're going to know, we're going to have a better understanding on actual budget matters and how we should be allocating that money and actually keeping up with our clubs and line items and seeing what they're doing throughout the school year, what needs they have, and building that relationship between the Senate and our line items. And I think that's super important.
Extremely, extremely important. Yeah, you want to open up those doorways, right, between all these different groups, because if they're not communicating, we know how that goes.
Exactly, yeah. And as a communication major, it's just I understand the importance of talking things out and actually having good communication, basic communication between these clubs. There's no reason why there shouldn't be a good relationship already established.
Fully agree, especially on a campus as small as ours.
Exactly.
Much bigger schools have much tighter relationships across departments than we do. So what's going on with ISU?
Yeah, right? I think this is a school-wide problem for sure.
I agree.
The colleges aren't talking to each other. Clubs aren't talking to each other. There's clubs doing the same events.
Duplicating services left, right, and center.
Yeah, honestly, we can combine forces.
And streamline.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of what we did in ASISU this past year.
Me and you, I feel we have accomplished that goal very well.
I fully agree. I feel great about this year.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it had its own challenges, every year in office. You know, it just depends on who's in office and the environment and the culture and how all these different people go together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always a mixed bag.
Yeah.
It really, really, really is. But I feel proud of our senators this year. You know, I think they really stepped up, a lot of them very willing to learn. And I was telling you this, I feel like every single senator showed up in their own way. There was something that they each contributed. It may not have been the most obvious thing or the thing you'd usually expect a senator to do, but I feel like every one of them showed up in their own way. Whether it was showing up at events, volunteering, just randomly speaking up against something, and the rest of the Senate would be like, wow, That was interesting. Okay, that changed my perspective, you know?
Yeah. Speaking out for the things that they truly, like, truly matter to them, and speaking out for things for their college. Like, for example, I think one of the senators who did an amazing job at this was Dre Bailey.
Senator Bailey, represented the College of Pharmacy.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just one of the things, just Bengal Wednesday. How many students, when you start out, you don't have Bengal gear?
Right.
Just, I didn't have any Bengal gear until I became a senator. And so Bengal Wednesday was kind of just like, oh, just if you know about it, you know about it. If not, you're not going to really care. But Senator Bailey, he went to his college, which is already just a very, like, prestige college. They have a dress code. They had to kind of dress up in their, like, lab uniforms. Mm-hmm. And he brought Bengal gear to their college every Wednesday. And so that way they had attire that they could wear that fits their dress code, but also show some school spirit. And I think that little things like that make a huge impact, and especially for, like, his own college. Just way to go, Dre.
I love it. It's so local, you know? That's how you make things happen. You just start right where you are, start in your group, start in your circle.
Exactly, yeah. And I guess the thing that I've been trying to do for my college, and at least just, like, starting off with my classes, something kind of smaller, is just telling them, like, once a week, or, like, what's going on within the school, what's going on with ASISU,
yes,
things that they can get involved in, just a couple minutes in the beginning of my class, just talk to them. And the students have been receptive to that so well. They've been super excited, like, every time when I come into class, and it's like, what's ASISU doing this week? What's going on? It's just communication. Like, you can do little things every day within your own classes in college to make a huge impact and get people to feel that Bengal spirit.
Agreed, exactly. And make it more transparent and accountable, you know, bring it back to the people.
Yeah, because that's who we're serving. That's who we're here for. Is for the students, for you guys.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of exciting opportunities coming up.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I do. So this summer, I just actually finished my paperwork before coming into this talk show. I'm going to be the CPI intern for the I Love ISU Scholarship Foundation.
Woo! Congratulations!
Thank you. I already got a few projects that I'm going to be working on this summer. So I'm excited right now. It's just kind of like the beginning works, but you'll definitely be getting a progress update later on.
That's so exciting. Oh, the I Love ISU scholarship campaign is phenomenal.
Yes.
You know, I did ASISU for 3 years, and every year ASISU volunteers, and we all get together and we call and try to get donations and stuff.
And it's
always so fun.
It's always so fun. We're all sitting there together. There's some snacks.
Yes, like, there's always candy.
We're all joking around. Just like, there's a little I Love ISU pin that we get at the end. And it's a nice way to volunteer and actually, like, help bring money back from the alumni to give back to the students. Yeah. I'm also a scholarship recipient for the I Love ISU scholarship.
Nice.
So I'm excited. I think this is an amazing scholarship to be given out to students.
That's so good. I love that they picked you to do it as a recipient, because you understand how important it is.
Yeah. And I also understand just the fact of, you know, being a broke college student.
Exactly. There you go.
Just like, if I can help any other, like, beginning future Bengals, like, get this scholarship, I will. And, like, continue, like, to keep getting money for it, so that way it continues to grow.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you're officially moving back to Pocatello.
Yes, with you, sir, my future roommate.
so excited. Because it's been up and down for you since you've come to college, just back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's been rocky.
I feel like I've definitely, I know a lot of other students can probably speak to this too, but for me, my college experience has been extremely rough. There's been times where I thought just, like, I couldn't continue due to stuff happening at home.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, like, I had to move back for this school year and taking a full load of credits, as well as, like, being involved as much as I have, and, like, trying to be involved in campus in any other places I can, just, like, that 45-minute drive from here to Idaho Falls, exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, just, like, I feel like our school could do a lot better for our commuter students.
I fully agree.
Our buses are not good. The bus system is not good. It doesn't work with class schedules. It doesn't help students get to the main campus. And on top of that, the Idaho Falls campus, it doesn't have any classes for my major whatsoever besides intro to speech.
So you have no choice but to commute.
No choice. Yeah. So hopefully next year, just like, I'm going to try to see what I can do to help commuter students, just because I know how exhausting it is. I've talked to multiple commuter students this year, just talked about it. And it's a drain. It gets really hard to keep up with your class load.
Oh my God, yes.
And on top of that, like, I work 2 jobs. And so it's just like, what time do I have to sleep? I'm working and going to school 7 days a week.
Right.
And we should be making it as easy as we can for our community students to at least get to their classes to get here.
I agree. Like, they shouldn't have to worry about that stuff. That should be taken care of.
Yeah,
right? You
exactly.
think, like, they pay enough money to the school that that's something they don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I honestly, this is the truth. Like, all of the resources that ASISU brings in is mostly dedicated to the Pocatello campus.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it doesn't spread around.
No. And it's just like, if we do spread anything around to the other campuses, here's some t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and even not just ASISU, I feel like the university as a whole has a responsibility to cater to their community students and their Idaho Falls students.
I agree. I mean, especially if you're going to put all of the classes on the Pocatello campus, at least provide transport.
Yeah.
Or at least put some classes there.
At the bare minimum, that's all we're asking. It's not just that. I've had friends that I've graduated with, and just since I'm in Idaho Falls, I know a lot of people who go to that campus, and there's not a lot of classes available.
Right.
There's not a lot of classes offered. And then the few classes that I have there, I am very unsatisfied with the professors who taught it. And it's just a lot of the time it's night classes, a lot of non-traditional
right.
students. And it's like, if you're not going to provide at least like some good education, some classes that are actually going to go towards my major
mm-hmm.
and help me, then why is there even a college right here?
True. What is the purpose of that campus then?
Yeah.
If it's just so underfunded and
underused, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is something that the university should definitely work on. That's something I'm going to be advocating for as a representative of all commuter students.
I would love that outreach. We should be creating bridges between all our campuses. We should all be one school, one university.
Exactly. I'm ISUIF. ISU Meridian.
Exactly. That doesn't exist. That's nonsense.
We're all Bengals. We're all here to get our education, and we're all here for the same goal.
Exactly. Thank you. So hopefully next year we can do that. We can start building these closer connections.
Exactly. I feel like that's something I'm going to at least try to like at least motivate diversity and outreach to do this year.
Yeah.
Is work on commuter students, work mm-hmm. on at least building a bridge for transportation. Why?
Right.
What's stopping that? What are the problems facing that? Why hasn't this been improved on when, you know, the number of students could grow drastically, the number of students enrolled, if we provided transportation at the bare minimum?
Right, exactly.
Well, there's buses that go, every 15 minutes at Ridgecrest down to campus?
Like every hour, yeah.
Public
transport in Pokie is pretty good.
Exactly.
It's pretty integrated. It'd be nice if it kind of stretched past that.
Yeah. But it was just like, if we can do this on the main campus, then there's no reason we can get at least a couple more buses from IF to here.
I agree fully. I feel like that's doable.
It's doable.
Yeah, we just have to talk to the right people.
Yeah. We'll get that done.
Look at us making plans. Put it in the book.
Put it in the sparkly notebook.
The sparkly notebook. Literally everything this girl puts down in the sparkly notebook gets done. I swear to God, it's like magic or something. I don't even know how she's doing it.
I lose a lot of things. Don't get me wrong. It's like, I'm scattered. I am a hot mess. But that notebook, it is everything I am trying to do. My goals, just like my to-do list, everything that goes in that notebook will get done.
Will get done. Organization, folks. Organization.
Get a notebook if you haven't. Get one.
If you're
here's a life tip from someone who is as messy and unorganized as me. Get a notebook or get a planner. And if you don't have one or the other, I don't know how you're surviving right now.
Seriously, like, if you're not making to-do lists every couple of days, something is wrong.
You're
in college.
It's like, I think I had one friend who his whole college career never had a planner, didn't use anything, but he was like an A+ student.
Oh my
I'm pretty
God.
Sure he was a master. And he just like remembered
he
everything.
He just did it all in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not like that one person, then you should probably have
I know I'm definitely not.
No. But yeah, there's my little life advice for anybody who cares.
I love it. And I mean, Zora Ruiz, our former vice president, she can speak organization queen.
Power
organization queen.
House. Yes.
Like,
she's the one who got me to get my crap together. Like, Nye, you are everywhere. Just like, you have your books everywhere. Do you even know when this is due? And she's like, here's a notebook. Write in this.
Keep it all right here.
Yeah. She also gave me the advice of like getting little sticky notes, like little post-its, and writing what I need to do for the day. So put it on the wall, put it right by the door, you can put those things
anywhere. Bathroom mirror.
Everywhere. Yeah. I'm like, turn off my heater, put it on in winter so I don't run like a big bill.
Right.
And when I wake up and I'm doing my makeup and I look up at my mirror and I see that note, just, oh, I should turn off the heater. Like, post-it notes save lives.
Exactly. And I mean, if you're creatures of habit like us, you won't even need the notes after a while. You'll just get used to it.
Yeah, but I'm a visual reminder, visual learner, as most people are.
Exactly, most people. This is very true.
Yeah, so help yourself out. Just like, if I live between two cities, you know, just like, I need some form of organization. So notebooks, post-it notes, Google Calendar.
Oh my God, Google Calendar. Google Calendar. It's how I've gotten to anything this semester. If you're not on my Google Calendar, it ain't happening, honey.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. No, literally, like, that thing saves lives.
Yes. Yeah. Can we just talk about how great Google Docs and Google Calendar and just, like, the ability to share, like, your work with someone and get that thing done and just, like, have live feedback. I love Google Docs.
I fully agree. I think a lot of ISU students and a lot of non-traditional students, too, like, they just don't really understand how valuable those resources are because nobody's ever shown them.
No.
You know? And that's kind of a big problem because to go to college in 2019, you have to have some level of, like, technological literacy.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody, unless somebody teaches you this stuff, like, how do they expect you to do it and know it?
And a lot of the time, the last time you're given a technology class is, for me, was my freshman year of high school.
Oh,
that was
wow.
the last time I did anything with Excel until maybe last year. And I'm just like, I have no clue how to do any of these functions. Like, I have no clue how to even, like, pull up the little bar to make it, like, two cells instead of one. Just, like, I don't know how to do any of that.
Exactly. Like, such simple things you think is so easy. You need to be trained.
Thing that me and you have talked about is either, like, starting a class for non-traditional students and any student who really wants to learn these basic technology skills, like email, Microsoft, like, all of that.
At least the ones that are super pertinent to ISU and our resources here, right? So you need to learn Google Docs, Google Slides, all that kind of stuff. Know your way around Gmail, Moodle, BangleWeb, all this stuff.
Yeah. And if there is already a class like that, come talk to us, please. Yes. If there is already a class of that, let us know and we will help promote
advertise
that.
Advertise it, market it, get it out there.
Yes. Again, it's all about communication. Communication between clubs and different people on campus who are offering these services because it's needed.
Right.
Yeah. For example, I know all the intro to speech classes, like Speech 1101, you're required to take a research class at the library. Like, it is required as part of your course. And that class, that little workshop that we had, taught me everything I need to know about the ISU library database, how to find research, how to find articles, how to, like, sort through that. And that one class has helped me tremendously, probably more than anything I've done so far.
So I'd say that's pretty mandatory if you're going to college.
Yeah.
You should take that.
And I think there should be a mandatory technology class that you're required to take, like, regardless, like, do it your freshman year. You should know. We should know how to do this stuff. And things are changing so fast every day. It's hard to keep up.
It is, even for us. And we're so young and millennial, quote unquote.
Facebook
and I don't even know.
And, like, it updated the emojis where, like, you know, you can react to something.
Yeah.
I freaked out. What is this?
Every time my phone updates, I freak out.
And I have to relearn everything, like, what, a whole new phone system every, like, what, 2 weeks?
Oh, my God. It's exhausting.
Yeah. And so I can't even imagine all you non-traditional students out here figuring out and doing it, like, Shout out to you
for, like, figuring it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm lucky where, like, I'm grown up with the new, like, technology wave. But
I was part of our childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people, like, they didn't have that.
Right.
So.
And it's much easier to learn stuff when you're younger than learn it when you're older and set in your ways.
Exactly.
We all know this.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you can't teach an old dog new tricks unless it's Excel.
I love it. Put that on a t-shirt. Oh my God.
Bingo Wednesday new t-shirt.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it. I love it. And you are judging the Idaho Falls Pride Parade this year, so we need to talk about that.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. This is another thing I'm super excited about. My whole life since I came out my freshman year of high school as bisexual, since then, I have been a strong LGBT advocate for East Idaho, mostly Idaho Falls area.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know me, I started the first gay straight alliance clubs in 3 high schools in Idaho Falls.
Wow.
And so those clubs actually provided, like, a space for students, LGBT students who are ready to, like, come out or need somewhere to, like, actually feel safe to talk about their sexuality. If they can't come out, like, I helped start that. Mm-hmm. And those programs are still thriving and alive today. So I also sat on the first Pride Parade Committee at Idaho Falls. So I think this is, like, the 4th or 5th year that we've had a Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on the committee for the first one in high school. And so this year, the committee reached out to me and they asked me if I wanted to be a youth panelist for them. And so I think I'm so excited for this. They grabbed me and my friend J.D. Wells, who is a doctorate of pharmacy student up at Washington State. So they're getting old, like, Idaho Falls alumni, I'm going to say, to come back and, like, help students or help anybody within our community just, like, ask us questions. Just, like, I'm going to let them know. Just, it does get better. It really does. In high school, I know how hard it was trying to find, like, deal with those, like, sexuality feelings, just the confusion. On top of that, learning how to grow up. Like, in high school, let's be real, it's a jungle.
It is.
I don't know how any of us survived that.
Oh, my God.
American high school, a jungle. I know anytime we talk about it, you're just like, what?
Yeah, no, it's a scary place. Like, Mean Girls is real. It is really all.
You cannot sit with us, but... Yeah, I'm super excited to help any youth within my community just, like, see what you can become and to accept yourself for who you are. You should love yourself wholeheartedly for who you are, even if, like, your peers around you don't agree. You are who you are. And if anybody is listening and struggling in this, like, I can promise you and guarantee you 100%, it does get better. Just keep being who yourself. And that's the message I am going to preach to those kids this June 29th in Idaho Falls, if anybody's willing to go.
Yeah, I fully agree. And you know what the best part is? Society has massively changed its perceptions towards LGBTQ people in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's been any global change in societal perception towards a marginalized group this rapidly in history.
Yeah.
I really don't see it. Like, since, like, the 2000s, you know, we saw this massive explosion of LGBTQ representation in the media. We saw LGBT candidates running for office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these just amazing things that happened in, like, different countries were seeing success in pursuing, like, LGBTQ policy advancements. People were striking down buggery laws. It's happening in America. It's happening in Trinidad and Tobago. Happening in India. Happening in even parts of the Middle East.
And you just presented research on this in MPSA in Illinois.
Yeah, I did.
We should talk about this, too, because,
okay.
Wow, Chris, just, like, you are such a well-educated and well-versed individual. And the research you've been talking to me about this whole year, I am incredibly proud of you. Oh, my gosh. How'd your presentation go?
They were amazing. So this was my second year going to the Midwest Political Science Association Conference in Chicago. And I presented two full papers as the sole author, which is, like, crazy. Like, I never thought I could pull something like that off on my own.
He could. And, he's so smart.
Oh, you're amazing. Both of my papers were about LGBTQ policy. So one of them, I looked at perceptions of LGBTQ representation in the media and how was that related to people's support for LGBTQ rights. I found that if people who believe that there are not enough LGBTQ characters in television are more likely to support LGBTQ rights, I found that advertising, the LGBTQ content that people see in advertising doesn't have any effect, which is super interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think my most interesting finding from that paper was that people who believed that the news media accurately portrays LGBTQ issues were less supportive of LGBTQ rights.
Hmm.
So I think that might say something about, you know, maybe the news media is taking more of a negative stance towards LGBTQ issues, or maybe they're overrepresenting negative stories. Or it might just be that we live in a time of fake news. So people who are watching the news are only perceiving the information that confirms their prejudices as accurate. So you watch the news and you filter it, right? Selection bias.
Yeah.
So I kind of think that's what's going on, but I might tease it out a little bit more in some future iterations and see.
I would love for you also to, like, flesh that out. Do you think that that kind of finding, like, transcends into other marginalized groups, like not just LGBT?
Oh my God, absolutely.
But, okay.
It's the same structure, the same phenomenon taking place across groups.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
I would love to see more research on this from you.
You
did amazing at the presentation. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And then my other paper was about the LGBTQ movement in Trinidad and Tobago. So this is really cool. So in April of 2018, Trinidad and Tobago basically decriminalized buggery. And it was one of the first countries in the Caribbean to do it. Barbados was first, I think Trini was second. So it was super interesting because for the first time, when I lived in Trinidad, there was no LGBTQ conversation. There was no LGBTQ discussion happening that was positive or progressive. It was all very anti-LGBTQ. It was a lot of discrimination, a lot of homophobia, transphobia, all this stuff. And to see that something so huge happened in Trinidad, this basically the equivalent of a Supreme Court ruling in the U.S. is what happened in Trinidad. It was phenomenal. I couldn't believe that it had spread and it was actually happening. But then I decided to take a closer look at the LGBTQ movement and what happened in Trinidad. And I realized that a lot of it was happening through the court, and a lot of the narratives that they were using in the court, by the court, were very Western. It was all privacy, constitutional rights, individual rights. just kind of the basic things that everyone in the West kind of says about LGBTQ people, right? Love is love is love. But then I realized that, well, that doesn't really quite match up with what Trinity culture is like, right?
Yeah.
There's kind of a different type of environment in which we live, and I think that requires its own set of LGBTQ rights and its own set of understanding about what being LGBTQ means. Because an LGBTQ Trini is nothing like an American LGBTQ person or a British or a Canadian.
So what would you define as like a typical Trini LGBT person?
Honestly, I think this is the thing. This is the fascinating thing about the Caribbean. It's almost, it's not possible really to say what it is. It's so diverse because Trini is so diverse. You have Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Indians, Africans, Chinese, white, people from Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. Trinidad is so diverse that it's impossible to say what a Trini sexuality is. It's so fluid and it's been like that from ever since, from colonialism, pre-colonialism, it's always been that way, right?
Yeah.
So I think Trini has this innate sense that sex and gender is very fluid, but I think the rest of the West hasn't quite catched on yet. And I think we need to own that and push that forward.
Because
It is. Exactly. You know, like, if you think of Carnival, Carnival has always been a very gender-fluid and sexuality-fluid event. Men were dressing up as women, women dressing up as men, just the different skits that they would put on, the different mythologies, all these different things. If you go, like, right back to the roots, you can see that how that fluidity always played a role. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you think about India, same exact thing happening in India right now. Months after Trinidad decriminalized buggery, India did the same exact thing. And I was speaking to a professor who visited ISU for the Frank Church Symposium. He was a doctoral student, actually. And he did a lot of research on queer theory, particularly in marginalized countries. So particularly queer Muslims he looked at. And he talked a lot about queer Hindus. And he was saying how if you look at Hinduism, the origins of Hinduism, it's very gender and sex fluid. You have gods taking on different forms. They have male and female forms. Some of them have different body parts and multiple sexual organs and all these different things, you know, like reproduction has always been so fluid in so many Eastern cultures, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a different story you have to tell.
Agreed.
Yeah?
Very agreed,
yeah?
Yes.
We kind of need to step out of this Western bias, this Judeo-Christian conceptualization of LGBTQ.
Agreed.
Right?
Very well put.
Thank you. So that's just my ramblings about my research on LGBTQ people. But super excited to see what comes out of it. Most likely this will be my dissertation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. And you wrote this. This is your paper. Like, you didn't have to co-author with anybody. This is your research.
Yeah, and that was like the funny part because, I mean, my advisors in my department, my faculty, Dr. Lai Becker, Dr. Kirkpatrick, Dr. Stoutenborough, they have held my hand from the beginning, walked me through it. They taught me everything I know now. And they definitely helped me tons with this paper. And at the end, I was like, I put their names on it. I put all of their names on the papers and then I sent the final draft to them and they were like, take it off. They're like, this is all you. Take it off. And I'm like, oh my God, really?
Yes, all they did, Chris, they were just there to support you. They're there to support you, help you get to this level where you can write this paper, and then they just let you go.
Just let me tell my story. Yeah.
And that is something to be extremely proud of. And just like yet another reason why ISU is probably the best school is because many departments on campus, how many professors truly care about your students like the way ours do?
Exactly. They all want, you know, fame, fortune, more money, research grants. That's what a lot of professors in this country want. You know, but how many of them are willing to, like, let their students have the moments and be like, nah, let me raise you up.
Yeah. Exactly. That's just a reflection of their work.
Exactly.
Like, you should be, your students are your investment. Like, you're here to help your students become better and become, like, at your level as a professor.
Yeah. I fully agree. You have to inspire them, mentor them, love them like your children.
And, like, I know my department, they do that same for me. I absolutely love you, CMP department. Thank you for everything you've done for me, and especially for my club, the National Student Advertising Competition. Kind of exciting news, kind of like to divert the conversation.
Yes!
So I was recently elected vice president for the ISU Advertising Federation, and so that club runs adjacent with the National Student Advertising Competition, which is generally has always been a class taught within the CMP department.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks to the hard work of my president, Zachary Gomez, and Jim DeSanza in our department, and Dr. Jason Carr, we were able to open that class up to the College of Business to now be open up to marketing students and anybody else who wants to get that real-world advertising marketing experience.
Wow.
That, honestly, I think from actually doing it this year, I think this experience is going to help me more than an unpaid internship or being straight out of college. It's like the first real world experience I had doing this. And now this is open up to marketing. So thanks to like our professors working day in and day out to help open that, we are now able to give this experience to two colleges instead of just one. And that's the power of actually communicating between colleges, communicating between clubs.
This is a collaboration we've been talking about.
Yes. And look, this is going to be absolutely amazing for all students who want to get involved.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see what NSAC does this year. It won't be NSAC anymore. It's going to be rebranded.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the Ad Club is working on rebranding the Ad Club. And so this summer we're going to be completely redoing and retelling our story, kind of to mirror just like ISU's whole rebrand with the Build Your Roar. And so we're going to be like rebuilding our club and rebranding our club to mirror that, just because honestly, if you haven't seen that campaign, go look at that campaign.
It's beautiful.
Mitchell Palmer did an amazing job at telling ISU's story. Not just ISU, but every single college is getting their story told.
I agree.
And so I think it's time for the clubs to mirror that and mirror that change in the vibe on campus.
Absolutely. Everybody should step up and professionalize a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm like ready for it.
Just like that's what ISU is. Just like we're not an athletic school.
Mm-hmm.
We're not Greek school. What we are is one of the 300 research colleges that are actually certified in the college. We are the premier health science school.
Yep.
We are have some of the best communication, business, and marketing classes taught in the country.
Political
the best
science,
psychology,
arts,
everything.
You name it.
Just like this school is here to actually help you learn and grow in the best way you can. And honestly, I feel like the Build Your Roar campaign is perfect.
It really, really captures it.
It really does. I'm so proud to be a Bengal, and I'm so proud of this campaign.
Oh my God. Me too. I think that was beautiful. I don't think anything else needs to be said.
Until next semester, y'all.
Until next semester, and you will be on again.
Oh, for 100, sure.
110.
For sure.
Who knows? You might even co-host. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This was amazing. You know, this is the last show for the semester. We're about done. We'll resume in the fall, and I'll get to kind of interview some of the new senators. You guys will get to meet them.
Oh, so excited for this new group.
So excited. And you'll be there to mentor them, train them, watch over them.
Yes, like pass down some knowledge.
Pass down some knowledge.
Give some solid structure.
Yeah, so I feel good. I think it's going to be a phenomenal year for ISU, ASISU, me and you, KISU, everybody.
I hope everyone has a great and safe summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Kill it. Go have fun.
Enjoy some sun.
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, for the college students out there who's just as broke as we are, you can always make more money, man. That's what my sister told me once. If you're contemplating going on that trip or not, you can always make more money. You have limited chances to travel and spend time with your friends and make memories. Because once we're out of here and we're in full-time jobs, you ain't going to have time.
Mm-hmm.
So do it now. Do it while you can.
Do it now.
Yes,
exactly.
Do it. Full send. Push the button.
There's one thing we want you to take from this radio broadcast today.
Full
send.
Thank you so much, Nai.
Thank you, Chris.
Financial support for KISU's ASISU Speaks comes from ISU Credit Union, with offices in Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, Burley, and Pocatello. ISU Credit Union provides a full line of services for financial solutions, including home, auto, and RV loans, and credit cards, over 5,000 shared branches nationwide, and much more. ISU Credit Union, you've never seen banking like this.